Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just come before you this morning. And again, I just thank you that we can be here. Father God, I know we do a lot of joking, but I am so thankful for Dale. I'm thankful for his life, his willingness, his desire to impact the world for you. I'm thankful for the impact that he has had on so many in our congregation. And I just pray, Lord, now that as he comes and he shares this morning, that you would just be with him during this time. I pray that you would use his words to touch each one of us in whatever way we need it this morning. Again, we just thank you for him, and I pray blessings over him during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Randy. It's always fun. Randy and I do joke back and forth together. And, you know, you can't get mad when you're an instigator like I am, so it doesn't really help. One of the things that I always enjoy when Jim Ernst comes to preach is he always starts out the same way. And it's from Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my God and my Redeemer. And I just think that's such a wonderful way to start a message. The message that I have today, I thought this was an excellent title because I knew I would at least have Dave Phillippe and the rest of the fishermen in the crowd their attention. But those of you who were here to see Dustin today, I'm sorry. I'm not Dustin. My name's Dale Miller. But I will try to throw in an A at the end of the sentence or maybe a Go Ohio State or something like that to make you feel more at home. Some of you might take this title literally, but it really wasn't intended to be literal. It's not about a fish, which that's a nice-sized fish, or it's not about a fisherman. It really isn't. But when Dustin first asked me to speak, I got this immediate idea about a sermon. And I had actually gotten it from one of our men's breakfast by Mark Patterson. And he was talking about revival preachers. You know, some of you, the older people, us older people in the church, we'll remember revivals coming in, preachers coming in and setting up a tent and having a revival meeting. And he said the revival preachers always had one message. And it was this. Repent. Amen. Now, that's the kind of thinking that usually gets me in trouble. So that's not what I'm doing today. Actually, this idea kept coming to me. And the Bible verse that I'm going to start with is Matthew 4:18-20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. This idea kept on coming back and back. And I thought, why are fish, this topic of fish and fishermen, always come around in the Bible stories and stuff? Now, it could be due to the fact that fishing and fish were an important part of the culture of the times. But I think it's more than that. And then I ran into an old friend of mine, and I had a hat on with the fish symbol. And he started talking to me about this fish symbol. And I thought, well, yeah, I've seen that before. I remember the Christians used to use that fish symbol to identify one another so that they could talk openly about their faith without being persecuted. But the fish symbol, he said, is more than that. It's actually, the fish symbol comes from the Greek word for fish. And the word for fish in Greek is either ichthys or ichthos. And that in itself is actually an acrostic. The I is isos, Christos, theos, Yeos and Soter. Now, the two differences in those are just grammatical. They both mean fish. And translated into English becomes Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. I thought, that is amazing. I just thought that was really interesting. So I started to think more and more about this. I once heard a preacher talk about fish in an analogy with the sin of man. And it is typical of fish. They have everything in their life that they need through the water. But fishermen go out and they cast their lines in with a hook and a little bit of bait. And it's something new, it's something different. And sure enough, the fish bite on it. And in the same way, we do that in our lives. God has given us everything that we need, everything that we could possibly want to have a fruitful, plentiful life and be in relationship with Him. But yet we always find something else there that just intrigues us. We feel compelled to bite on it. And then we're hooked. Sin enters our lives. We have this pull away from God. And what happens is that we lose our relationship with God and we end up struggling for life. We give this up. And one of the things that is a problem is there's other people around us. Now, if anybody that's a fisherman knows that fish travel in schools, not the schools that you kids go to, but schools. All right. So they're happy to be with one another. Well, it's the same way when you enter that sinful life. There's plenty of people that want to pull you away from your life in Christ. There's plenty of people, and you can follow them. And I tell you what, I was a good fish. If the crowd went this way, I'd go that way. If the crowd went that way, I would go that way. It was very easy to walk that way. But there is a better way. These fishermen that Jesus found along the Sea of Galilee found that out. But why fishermen? Jesus was a carpenter. His father was a carpenter. He grew up in that. But why fishermen? I think the idea is that they're a very close-knit group. In Mark 1:17-19, it comes up again, the story about Jesus calling the first disciples. Then Jesus to them, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James and the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who were mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee and in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Can you imagine just leaving everything that you knew to follow this man who calls you? One of the things that he stressed, what Jesus stressed throughout his time with them, was a unity, a fellowship. And in John 15, he talks about that. He talks about that unity as a fisherman in the net. Now, fishing back then wasn't the same as it is today. Fishermen struggled against the sea, against storms. But the verse in John that he came and he really stressed was this: "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But by this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." It is important to be kind to one another within the church. Storms come up. If you're not pulling together, you can be lost. Your life depends on that life of another person within the church. They are your support group. They are the ones that can carry you through tough times. Your youth group, those people, your peers, the ones that you know and have a relationship with. When you struggle with things at school or outside of home, they are the ones that can really help you get through those tough times. And these storms can come up. And again, in John 17, it says, "I pray for them. I am not praying for them for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And the glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they will still be in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that you may be one as we are one. Again, he stresses that unity. He stresses the importance of the church. So who's the church today? Who are these people that God wants to use to spread his word and to spread his love? So here we are. We are the members of this particular church, but we are overall the members of a large community of Christians throughout the world. We need to show a love for one another. We need to be united. It is dangerous out in the world today. Every day there's more and more danger that is faced, different things all the time. Is the world a safer place than when you were a child? Probably not. The terrors are different, but it is a dangerous place out there. We're the church. We are the fishermen on this boat. It's not a pleasure cruise. It is important to come to church to be refreshed, to be renewed, to strengthen your faith. But it's not about lounging in your faith. God has called us here for a purpose, for a reason, to spread the word of Christ to those outside the church. Now, why is this so important? Why today is this so important? One of the things that when I was preparing, I came across this article in the Lebanon Daily News. This was Saturday, April 20th. A poll reports a huge drop in church membership. Religion now more closely tied to political affiliation. Church membership was 70% in 1999. And close to or higher than that figure for most of the 20th century. Since 1999, the figure has fallen steadily, while the percentage of U.S. adults with no religion or affiliation has jumped from 8% to 19%. We know what's been happening in some cases within other churches, but this is something that's going on all around the United States. People are not attending church like they used to. It is just a sad fact. It makes it more and more important for us to go outside the church, to walk and talk and spread the word of Jesus Christ and to share your faith with those around us. Now, I was informed yesterday by two lovely ladies that a sermon should only take as long as it takes to eat a fireball. Now, I'm not exactly sure how long that is, but I think I'm getting there. In Sunday school, we were talking about this in Cindy and Faith's class by Andy Stanley. What's the difference between a Christian and a disciple? Do you consider yourself a disciple? It was odd when Cindy asked the class that there were very few adults that raised their hand about being a disciple. When I asked the youth at youth the other night, there were more youth that raised their hands, and I thought that was really neat, that they considered themselves disciples. If you look at the word Christian, it is a noun relating to and professing Christianity or its teachings. As an adjective, as a noun, it's a person who has received Christian baptism or is a believer in Christianity. The term Christian at the time of Jesus, according, and this is in Andy Stanley's session, he talked about that, and it made complete sense to me. The term Christian was not something that originated with the disciples and the followers of Christ. It originated from the Romans and the Jews of the time calling them Christians. And a lot of times as a derogatory comment, more so than something that would be uplifting. In some cases, it's getting to be that way again. But are we not all disciples? Are we not followers? Are we not adherents to the faith? Devotees? Apprentices? I like the word apprentices. That really is neat. But as disciples, He has given us the task to go outside the church, to spread His word, and even more importantly, to love one another so that people outside the church can see how we interact, how we share, how we love one another with the love that Christ showed to us, and by that come to know Jesus Christ in their own lives. If we can do that, if we can share that, if we can, in strength and faith, go outside and share the love of Christ with those around us, we will all be disciples. And if that works out, then we're all rowing. We're all taking this boat, this church, and we can get through the rough seas. Everybody has a job. Everybody has different talents, different gifts. And I like this last one. I don't know if any of you have watched this TV show, God Friended Me. I started watching it. I wasn't sure about it because it seemed like, well, maybe they're just going to be making fun of Christianity. But I really like the underlying terms of this. And in the last part, he was talking about the whole premise is this guy is online and he gets a friend request from God. And this, he gives him people that he wants him to meet and see and talk with. And his father is a preacher, and his father asks him the question that, are you okay with never knowing who's behind the God account? And the son says, actually, I am. He said, what I have learned is that the question is not the most important thing. Helping people, changing lives, making a difference, that's what really matters. We all have questions. We all have times that we go through and we wonder why. Why did we have to suffer through this? Why does this happen to this person? Why does this happen to that person? Those questions aren't as important as interacting with people, changing lives, things that matter, spreading the word of Christ to those around us. If we can do that, then we can be fishers of men. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I just thank you so much. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share. As intimidating as it is also rewarding. Lord, I just ask that as we go outside this church, that we do share the love of Christ with each and every one that we come in contact with, even those who we do not address verbally. Lord, I just pray that our lives shine a light that is easily visible to those around us, that we serve a loving God, and that what He says is true. Lord Jesus, help us to give us the strength and the courage to share the faith with those around us, and help us to learn to be more kind and loving to each and every one who is on this boat with us. Lord, we just ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.